Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Good Thursday morning. Getting closer to a feel-good football Friday tomorrow and a big football weekend. And we are not going to see a change at quarterback, at least to start the game at MetLife Stadium for the Jets against the Panthers. And Aaron Glenn yesterday, I guess he didn't know what job he was taking. Because the way he has handled the media since he has gotten here appears like he has no idea or had no idea what he was getting into. Now, I understand it's not easy, and I understand that there's a lot of hurdles and weird things you have to deal with when you're a coach of the New York Jets in particular, but for him to, after the game, say, what type of question is that about having Justin Fields be benched because he just gave you the worst performance in the history of the New York Jets at that position? And then yesterday, when unsolicited, when talking about Justin Fields throwing the ball down the field, he goes, well, if we throw the ball down the field and something bad happens, you guys will be bitching about that too. Well, of course. So you tell me there's only two options? Don't throw the ball down the field and have negative 10 yards net passing, or throw the ball down the field and get picked off? I guess you got the wrong quarterback, Aaron. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well. And yeah, I kind of understand where Aaron Glenn is coming from in some respect, but in other respects, I also think we are a long way from the day that he got the job. If you remember, he got the job. It was celebrated. He was so happy. Everybody was happy. Everybody thought, okay, we got one of our own coming back. He's going to be able to turn this thing around. He's been around turnarounds before. He knows what it takes. And he did warn us that there was going to be some pain early on.
But we knew that.
Yeah, we all knew that. And I do appreciate the I don't want to call it blind loyalty, but I do appreciate the way that he's supporting his quarterback. If I were his quarterback, I would love it. I mean, but I'm not his quarterback, so I'm sitting here in judgment of his quarterback. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is it was a very matter-of-fact situation last week that was unfolding in London. And that was that Justin did not have a great first half. They botched the end of the first half. It looked bad. Even if he wanted to come out and say, you know what, I just didn't want to turn the ball over. The game was close. I knew we were starting the second half of the ball. I just wanted to be as conservative as possible and not put anybody in a bad situation. I think we could all buy that. But the problem is we're all sitting there. You're running a fourth down play, a fake punt, and then all of a sudden you're doing that to sit on the ball as opposed to going for points in which every team in the league, even the teams that have – you know, whether it be Tennessee, whether it be New Orleans, no matter what team it is, they're going to go for points except for the Jets in this situation, which is so bizarre, which makes this whole discussion even more like frustrating and I think annoying to not only the guys that are covering the team, but also the fans that are rooting for the team. It was there for him on a platter last week. He could have sat down Justin Fields if he didn't want to start, sit him down to start the second half. In the middle of the third quarter, he could have done so. He could have inserted Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if they would have won the game. All I know is that the ball would have been coming out. You know, he would have been throwing the ball down the field, and they would have had some semblance of a passing offense. And then after the game, as I said on Monday, he could have said, listen, Justin's still our starter. He was just struggling. I wanted to do something to jazz up the team, get the team going, and that's why Tyrod Taylor is here. It's just a very matter-of-fact way of handling things. And like I said yesterday, they don't owe Justin Fields anything. They've actually done him a favor by giving him the starting job, giving him the amount of money, which, by the way, is not starter money. It is not starter money. It's somewhere in between. You know, it's not backup money, and it's not starter money. It's stopgap money is what it is. And Justin, much like Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, and all these guys, is trying to resurrect his career with the team. And it's not going very well. It's just not going very well. So why Aaron Glenn would want to get himself embroiled in this kind of thing once again just goes to show you that, you know, there's a lot of inexperience there. Yeah. And we got to deal with it. But he's got to deal with it. The team's got to deal with it. And the guys covering it got to deal with it.
Right. And I think the guys covering it are probably enjoying this right now because he is combative and he's giving them something, and maybe they respect it, maybe they don't. I'm not sure. I don't think Brian Costello liked the shame on you type of attitude that he got from Aaron Glenn when asking about, you know, benching Justin Fields. This is what I'm a little bit, more than a little bit, concerned for the Jets when it comes to Aaron Glenn, is that all of us knew that this was going to be a very, very difficult situation. Aaron Glenn had been here as a player when things stunk. He had been here as a player when things were going good. He went through hell in Detroit to begin with, and then he was a part of a team that completely turned it around. He has Bill Parcells as a mentor talking to him about rebuilding a franchise and coaching in New York. But somehow, with all of that going on, he still has zero idea what to do in almost every freaking situation, whether it's coaching on the sidelines or talking behind the podium. And I remember back when we were watching that Hard Knocks Giants thing was a disaster for the Giants. But one thing that came out of that was very interesting was before Joe Shane spoke at the Combine, you know, you had one of the PR guys sit down and go, they're going to ask you this. This is what you should do. They're going to ask you this and try to get you on this. This is what you should do. Does anybody do that with Aaron Glenn?
I'm assuming they are, but
for him to do that yesterday where he goes, oh, so someone asked, you know, we even talked about it, one-on-one Garrett Wilson. You see how you just throw the ball? You could do that with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
So the question is asked like that. And he goes, well, yeah, I mean, we'd like to see that, you know, especially if there's man coverage. But if something goes wrong, you guys will be bitching about that too. That's about one of the oddest, most unnecessary things to say in that situation. Because basically what you're doing is telling us that you either don't throw with your quarterback, or when he throws it, he's going to throw an interception. Like, where is, you talk about faith in the quarterback and having his back. I mean, I just,
What you're telling me now is he can't do anything.
Well, I mean, and to me, I think it's a direct reflection of what he witnessed on the field on Sunday. I think he still, he saw it just like the rest of us saw it. He just didn't do anything about it, and he was the one that has to do something about it. And I have no idea if Tanner Engstrom is in his ear saying, hey, look, man, he is really struggling. We are really struggling. We need to make a change. You know, if Josh McDaniels were in that situation, he would tell the head coach, hey, we need to make a change. I'm going to make a change. I got to get this thing going. You know, they're not going to do that to Drake May, of course, but this, again, there are probably a third of the league's quarterbacks, you know, the team that they're playing for, the team doesn't owe them anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that I felt that way when I was in Arizona. I'm just going by personal experience and feeling what I understand what the coach is trying to do, and I appreciate it, but I also understand that he still has to answer to the rest of the team. He still has to, you know, deal with, you know, those offensive linemen that gave up 9 sacks. At least that's the idea that, you know, some people may have. But in reality, when you're holding the ball as long as, you know, Justin Fields is holding it, you can't blame the offensive line. I mean, there's got to be decisions got to be made. Ball's got to be thrown. Throw it away. Don't take the sack. Don't, you know, and why and what are the reasons he takes sacks? I think, if I had to guess, and again, this is just a guess, and this is just, you know, something that I can see from watching the tape, is that, you know, he doesn't want to throw an interception, or he doesn't want to throw an incompletion. You know, so, you know, the completion percentage is important, the interception is vital, and just doesn't trust what he is seeing. There's, like, I watch some of these plays that CBS Sports Network is running. I can look at 3 different guys that are open by NFL standards. I'm not sitting here telling you that they're wide open. But by NFL standards, if you throw it on time and you put it where it's supposed to be, it's going to be a completion. You know, one of the things about Tom Brady for all those years that really amazed me more than anything was the accuracy to throw it to somebody that had somebody on their back and throw it to a place where only the guy that he was throwing it to could catch it. And 95% of the time, it was a completion when he would do that. Now, we're talking about the greatest to have ever done it. And we're trying to get this kid who has been erratic and inconsistent his entire career to do the same thing, which is impossible. So while I do appreciate what Aaron Glenn's trying to do and trying to be loyal, trying to be strong, trying to be confident, which is all the things that probably Bill Parcells has told him. When you stand up in front of that media, man, don't you bend. Don't you give in. You make sure that you are confident, that you're standing tall. And I'm sure all of those things are being told to Aaron Glenn, and I'm sure he's acting on all of those things. The problem is they selected a guy that is going to be inconsistent and it's going to cost them games, and he's got to make that decision in real time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
So I remember you saying, you know, during training camp, preseason games, you said, have you seen anything on social media from the Jets in a while that would be an issue? Because remember, during the Rob Sala years, there were so many instances of guys running to social media and doing things and creating problems that didn't need to be created. And I said, no, other than Quinnen Williams. After Aaron Rodgers, the decision was made not to keep Aaron Rodgers, and he put something out there. It's been totally silent and remained totally silent, even through 0-5, 0-6.
Which is good.
Right.
Which is really good. Now, and Aaron Glenn's had a positive effect in that regard.
Yeah, until yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And Breece Hall, who we know has been rumored to be traded even prior to this, posted on Instagram and then finished his post. It was a bunch of pictures of him like in the game and showing up to the game and whatever. And then in the post, he finished it with #free20. Of course, his number is 20. So this could mean one of two things. It could mean give me the ball more, our quarterback stinks, free me. Or it could be free me, which is more likely, free me, trade me. I've heard the rumors. Get me the hell out of this organization.
Well, I will say that he is in the final year of his contract, so he is an unrestricted free agent. So instead of losing him for nothing, it only makes sense for an 0-6 team to at least acquire something for him, because I would think it would be unlikely that he would re-sign here.
Yeah.
You know, he could say that he loves it here and he likes being a part of the team and he wants to be a part of the turnaround, but let's face it, you know, nobody wants to be a part of a winless team. Nobody wants to be a part of a team that doesn't feel like it's going anywhere anytime soon. So I can understand his frustration. I also can understand his hope to be traded to what he would believe would be a contender. Now, who that contender would be and what they'd be willing to give up for him, that's a whole nother set of circumstances that Darren Mooji has got to fight through and figure out.
So you don't have a problem with this? I thought you'd hate this.
I mean, this is the world we live in now. This is the social media stuff, and whatever he's trying to say, I kind of feel like whatever their policy over there is regarding social media and X posts, that this is probably a mild violation of maybe what they've asked the players not to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sure, but just. It could also, it's ambiguous, I suppose. It's not as if he went on there and said, get me the hell out of here. Sort of like A.J. Brown, like, posted some quote from some philosopher that was basically translated into, throw me the ball, you jerk.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
Really what it was.
Well, I would say that there are going to be players who are going to be disgruntled. There is no question about that. And whether it be A.J. Brown or Breece Hall or anybody else for that matter that's on a losing team. Now, A.J. Brown's not on a losing team. He's on defending world champions. But it seems like something's got to give there too. That's the big thing about, you know, is Howie Roseman going to shake things up. I'd love to see what he's going to do, because I always feel like he's the guy, and John Lynch, those two guys I feel like are the most aggressive when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, and I know that Braylon Allen is out for the Jets, but they're not going anywhere. It really doesn't matter. Trading Breece Hall, if you're not going to keep him, is a smart thing to do. So Connor Hughes of SNY, who's covered the Jets a ton, said that the consensus out there and the people he's talked to is a fifth-round pick for Breece Hall, potential for fourth if two teams compete for him, but absolutely no way would it be a third, because of durability concerns, and he's going to be a rent-a-player most likely.
Yeah, that's the point. There's not the extra year of the contract. So, I mean, if you can get a fourth-round pick for him, I would do it.
Does he end up with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, everybody says Kansas City is this landing spot. You know, they are getting, you know, first of all, they got two wide receivers back. They got Hollywood Brown back, and they all of a sudden have started to take off, and they're getting back Rashee Rice this week.
Yeah.
From his suspension. They have Xavier Worthy. He's back now. Mm-hmm. They got a full complement. I mean, they have running backs. They don't need any more running backs.
Okay. I mean, it seems, just reading ChiefsKingdom.com over here,
they feel like they want another running back, and that he would be a target for them.
It says Chiefs should be all over reported Breece Hall trade price. The Chiefs need a running back, and the Jets reported asking price for Breece Hall is reasonable. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to, if it's going to be a contender, obviously, that he gets traded to. So, of course, just like the history we have, recent history we've seen with teams or players leaving New York teams to go to other places, Breece Hall has the potential.
What about the Steelers?
The talent that he has to be that next guy. Yeah. Do the Jets care about trading him to an AFC team?
Well, that's the Chiefs are an AFC team.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. We're only talking about AFC teams.
Well, I would just say, you know, they're not going to trade him to the Patriots. They're not going to trade him to the Bills. And not going to trade him to the Dolphins.
And plus, he's probably not going to sign with the team that trades for him, most likely. But, so yeah, you really wouldn't care. Yeah. I mean, I suppose Steelers could be one for sure. But he's going to go to a contender. He's going to be a much talked about player if he goes to that contender. And there's probably people in fantasy football rosters that have Breece Hall that are hoping to God that he gets traded to a team that actually knows how to score some points. But I mean, this is another one of these sad things when you think about the Jets. So much potential. You know, broke out in a big way when he was a younger player, you know, dealt with some injury, but it's just going to end poorly. And, you know, he sees his buddies that he came into the league with in Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson get money from the organization. He's not going to get money. Free 20, get me out of here, which is the exact thing you talked about what they didn't want from Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that this was going to be a very bumpy ride to start the season.
Yeah.
And so they essentially bought the silence of their two star players, and now we're starting to see a little bit of, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising. I mean, like, I guess if I were Breece Hall, I probably would feel the same way. If I could get out of here and I could go to a contender and I could actually have an impact on that team in a positive way that would help my free agency.
Yeah, I mean, to me, no one should be like untouchable with this Jets roster when they're trying to turn over the whole thing, right? I mean, even the guys you signed. I mean, Garrett Wilson, I like. I think he's a very talented player. I mean, if someone asked for Sauce Gardner and would be crazy enough to trade for him and say, you know, the contract that you gave him is pretty reasonable, and we would have him under, and I don't know if there's some sort of no trade clause in there, but if someone even called for him, I'd be like, you know what? Screw it. Get me Sauce Gardner. I wouldn't even think twice about trading just about anybody on this roster. Maybe Arbon Membu is the one guy that you don't want to trade because he's a rookie offensive.
You're not going to trade Fashanu.
You can't trade the offensive line.
Don't trade the offensive line, and I wouldn't trade your edge rushers, Jermaine Johnson or Will McDonald. I wouldn't trade those guys either. Although there may be a little bit more of a package to get one of those two guys.
Yeah.
Because you got to believe that the 49ers believe that they are definitely in the running right now. They've stayed above water. They've stayed above 500. I know they lost this past week, but they're still a very good team. But they lost Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, mm-hmm. both of those players.
Yeah,
those are all pro defensive players that they've lost for the entire season.
Yep.
So you know that John Lynch has got to be on the phone.
Yeah, and he's always been active, as you've mentioned before.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
We want to start with the Jets here and get some football in. You know, I don't have a major problem with it. You and I have had these discussions before with the way Aaron Glenn has handled the media here, being short with some of these questions, and they were replaying some of the stuff during the morning show today with Aaron Glenn. I really don't care what Aaron Glenn says to the media, how he handles things. What I don't want is Aaron Glenn to change who he is or let the media or fans, what they're saying, impact his thought process. And it's hard to argue that it's not impacting his thought process. I think it is just 6 weeks in. And to me, that would be, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, it's the first thing that made me a little nervous about Glenn. When he starts to react to that stuff or let the noise get to him and you can see him reacting to it, that's where I think you have a problem. And that's where we're at with Aaron Glenn.
We are there, unfortunately. And we do have an issue. And somebody's got to get in the ear of Aaron Glenn and let him know what the heck is going on here, because he is digging himself a hole that even somebody that collectively we're rooting for, because he's a Jet and we like those storylines, but that's already expired. He's just making his job tougher. So what we're talking about is he was asked, I don't know who, may have been Rich or Cuss. Actually, I'm not even sure who it was. He was asked about why aren't you guys throwing the ball downfield? That's a pretty good question. You know, I mean, yeah, you got to score some points in the NFL. Take a few shots. You might get a pass interference. I don't know. You might actually catch a touchdown pass. Either way, he was asked about this, and his answer, quite frankly, was terrifying. It actually worries. I heard this, and then I heard Greg and Booms talking about this, and I'm like, they're right. And my instinct was the same thing. He said, all right, now I'll paraphrase this part. All right, listen, I could take some shots downfield. That's fine. But if it gets intercepted, you guys are going to complain. Whoa. You guys are going to be all over us. I mean, along the lines of telling us, this is why I use the word terrifying, telling us that the Jets, Aaron Glenn, they are actually incorporating what we might think or what we might say if things go awry by taking a shot down the football field. That is really one of the most alarming things I've heard from a coach in a long time. That is ridiculous.
But I don't think that he's saying that he's not going to throw it deep because he's worried about
the push. But they're not throwing it down.
Yeah, well, because Justin Fields doesn't want to throw the football. That's not his fault. I mean, Justin Fields doesn't want to throw it. And they didn't throw it against the best defense in the league. So forget that for a second. Do you really think that Aaron Glenn is not going to call a certain play because he's worried about the reaction? So for me, and by the way, I don't think that he's wrong. If Justin Fields does throw it down the field or the Jets start airing it out, what do you think the media is going to say if it goes awry? Oh, why are you throwing the football down the field with the quarterback who's clearly going to run? So Aaron Glenn's not wrong, number one. Number two, I don't believe that he's not throwing it down the field because of what the media is going to say.
Well, then why did he say it?
Well, because I think it's true. I think it's true. Now, what he, even though it may be true, what he shouldn't be doing is talking about those things in the open. He could feel it. Was he the first coach that's ever been criticized by the media? Everybody's been criticized by the media or the fans, especially when you're losing. You're 0-6. You just got to sit there and take it. So he could feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't say those things. So a part of the appeal to me about Aaron Glenn's personality is that he's transparent, he's open, he's upfront, he's honest. The problem is when you have that and you're 0-6, Glenn right now has zero legs to stand on. And he doesn't understand why he's being ripped apart by everybody because he, in his mind, he's the football coach. We know nothing. And he's right in that regard. Like, sure, he is the football coach. We know nothing. But he can't understand why people are going to be questioning him. The reality of the situation is when you're 0-6 and as bad as the Jets have been with the decisions, with all that's gone on here, he is going to be questioned. He could believe a certain thing. I don't believe he should be addressing those things publicly, which is only going to make things worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I guess in some way, we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, the ability to handle duress and pushback, that's, you know, that there's a learning curve for that. So I'm not trying to, you know, color outside the lines here and be unfair to Aaron. I'm just merely reacting to what he's telling us. He is volunteering this.
Right.
And to me, that is absolutely ridiculous. The question isn't, is Justin Fields good enough to make to make big plays down the field? Number one, the answer is no.
Right.
And number two, if Garrett Wilson's double teamed, nobody else will be open. So I don't expect the Jets to become some aerial assault team like Jim Kelly and the run and shoot Bills back in the day. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I heard a coach go to the podium
right. In
the loudest city with the most distractions and quite of any other city, and quite frankly, the absolutely most disgusted fan base in all the sports. And one of his central themes is to tell us that he's worried about what we think.
Well, I don't,
or
I don't,
what we might say.
No, I don't think that he's worried about it. I think that he's sensitive to it, which is a problem. Like, put yourself in his shoes for a second. You believe in what you're doing. You worked your ass off to get this opportunity your whole life. You know that certain things are out of your control. You're trying to get this thing turned around. And really from week one on, or certainly week two, definitively after week two, because after week one, everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. Week two on, everybody's starting to doubt him and poke holes in him. He's got the personality that doesn't want to hear any of the bullcrap nonsense, which I understand because I don't want to hear people, you know, whether it's social media. We gave up this example the other day.
Like how to do a show?
Whatever it may be. Yeah, whatever it may be. Now, there are ways to do it. Somebody's calling it, hey, you should do this. And there were times where I'd be like, shut up. I'm doing the show. You don't know what you're doing. And I learned that maybe that's not the best way to address it. Just let them say what they want and ignore it. Mm-hmm. He's learning. That's what happens with a young guy when he's getting that job. So I don't think that he really is going to have his thought process or play calling impacted by what the media might say. He's just being very sensitive and defensive to it. because he's been getting bludgeoned for six straight weeks, pissed off with what's going on with his team, and annoyed that he's got to answer questions from people who don't know a fraction of what he knows, and that they think they know more than he does, even with his 0-6 and bad decisions. Like, we don't know more than Aaron Glenn does. So I just think he's handling it the wrong way, but I think he's learning as a rookie head coach.
Well, I mean, to me, he'll show me that he's learning when he actually changes his approach. Right. I think he's learning. I hear you. You would think that this stuff would start to resonate and he would get better, and he's a smart guy. And I believe that one of the reasons that Aaron was very appealing to me, Sal, is that I do believe he's a leader of men.
Right.
I really do. And that's one of the things you must have, especially in football. Gase obviously did not have it. I thought Salah had it. He didn't. Nobody followed him. I think that Aaron's got that gene. And I think that, you know, whether it's being for the Parcells tree or being part of the Detroit Lions rebuild with Campbell or being part of the Jets rebuild as a player in the mid-90s when they went 3-13 and 1-15 back-to-back in 95 and 96 with Kotite and then eventually 9-7, 12-4 with Bill, he has seen a lot of football. I'm not questioning his football thought process, but I'm beginning to question his mentality, which is the one thing that I thought for sure he would knock out of the park from day one.
Right, but would you rather have somebody like Robert Saleh or Adam Gase who either didn't answer the question, beats around the bush, doesn't do it? He's going to learn that the right way to handle this type of stuff is to not be sensitive and defensive to it. Let them ask the questions. And like, the best way to answer that would be like, our team is not built to throw the football down the field. Mm-hmm. We were built to run the football down the opponent's throat. We will take the proper shots when they're there, when we feel like it. Even if you want to get a little like, you're not the offensive play call. I know that's probably a little combative.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, just say the truth. We're not built to throw the football down the field. Don't say, well, what's going to happen when we do? Which is going to happen. He's right. But you don't need to go there. And I think those are things he's got to learn about New York, especially when they're losing to the level that they're losing.
And this is what worries me about the Jets as an organization. Like, are the Jets doing the right thing? I'm sure they're not trying to do the wrong thing. But are they doing the right thing to prepare him for what he's going to be asked about? I mean, the people in the building, Rich Samidi didn't just crawl out of a rock to start covering the Jets. Costello, O'Connor, like these people have been on the beat forever. Catanzaro, they understand the dance. They understand when I say the dance, the back and forth, the volley, the head coach, the questions, the dance, the routine. You got to anticipate this, you dopes. So why don't you sit down with Aaron Glenn? Why don't you let him know what's coming? And trust his intelligence to be able to work around that. Now, if they did do this, and Aaron's still butchering it because he's either too green or too aggressive or caught in between, then that's on Aaron Glenn. But, like, you're not just the worst, and they are the worst franchise in all of North American sports right now. They've got the longest playoff drought. We know this. Mm-hmm. We've said it a million times. So when you've got a 15-year playoff drought, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, you're not the ninth worst team. You're the worst franchise. And it's not just because you can't pick the right coach or draft the right guy or whatever, or there's scandal. It's because everything is substandard, including the ability to convey to your coach the proper messaging. I hope he gets it. They're not going to win a lot of games. I thought they'd beat Carolina. They probably won't without Garrett Wilson. So this is going to be a 3-14 train wreck. And if he doesn't clean this stuff up, Sal, he's not going to make it to year two.
But see, this is the problem. If I'm Aaron Glenn, you're hired to do a job. You got to let him do his job. And already people since week two, week three, week four, week five, week six, here we go, questioning his job already in year one. What did you expect? You expected miracles from this team. It's not going to happen in year one with a quarterback who they brought in that can't throw the football. A guy who's trying to rebuild this organization. You mentioned it, the worst organization in sports. You want him to take it out of the abyss 6 weeks in? So I can understand his frustration with how people are questioning him already. It may not be the right way to do it, but he's frustrated and being sensitive to it and defensive. That's ultimately not the right way to handle it. He's got to learn that. But I think even his confidence is being shaken here. Maybe he's starting to doubt a little bit how much room he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are all calling for your job or saying you're going
to... I get it. You get defensive.
Well, okay. So now that's where he's at.
Yeah.
He's got to have some success to quiet the detractors and give himself some confidence, and then maybe he'll be less sensitive or defensive, and then maybe we can start getting this thing back on track. But I think that's where we're at. I love Aaron Glenn's personality. I believe he's got the right mentality, mindset, attributes to be a leader of men and a good head football coach. I also understand that doing it with the Jets is near impossible, especially when you don't have a past record to prove yourself. Because if it were Pete Carroll or whoever else, it wouldn't be the same stuff. We'd be frustrated. We'd be saying, oh, I don't know. But it wouldn't be the same thing. And also, Pete Carroll would know how to handle it because he's been there before. That's what we're going through, a learning process, not just with the decisions going into halftime or how long the field goal was at the end of the game. Also how to handle adversity. And he's learning all this stuff right out of the gate.
I understand that. And I really am sensitive to that. The only other thing that I would add here is, as he gets defensive, right, nothing that was asked was even remotely out of bounds. It was like really the most benign question. Hey, coach, you know, the offense is having a rough time putting points up. Any thought of maybe taking some shots down the field? That's the most basic football question that you could ask. And really, when you think about when he was asked post-game by Costello, was there any thought to benching Justin Fields? I mean, this has been going on since the 50s and the 60s. Like, every coach, not just here, every coach everywhere. If your starter's winless and he's playing horrendously, like historically bad, it's not some incredibly, it's not a gotcha question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
and he's got to be able to handle those. That's a layup, man. Right,
but that's a Parcells, Belichick mindset. The problem is, or the big difference is, those guys had a winning pedigree. Those guys were on winning teams. You can't do that when you're 0-6 and have zero resume to say that there's any belief that you're going to be a good head coach. BT and Sal on the Fan, plenty of baseball, as we said, coming up later on in the show. We'll hear from Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman as they address the media after the season ended, a week ago. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is calling from Rivervale, starting us off. What's up, Eric?
What's up, buddy?
BT and Sal, what's happening, guys?
How are you?
All good.
Love that you started with the Jets. I appreciate that much. And I agree with both of you. I think, Aaron, AG just can't win for trying right now. And the problem is that he's trying in the wrong place. He's never going to win with the media. He was right with what he said yesterday, right? There's nothing he can say that's necessarily going to quell, you know, all of the fans as well as the media. So he has to learn.
Yeah, but hold on, Eric, hold on. But Eric, hold on. And I don't mean to jump you early, but this is important. But don't add to it. Like you just said, there's nothing that he could have said yesterday that would have changed this. Yes, I there is. If he didn't bring in, well, you'll jump all over us if we throw it downfield and get picked off. If he doesn't say that, we're not leading with the Jets today.
Well, I agree. That's kind of my point, is that, you know, effectively, like what Bill Belichick always did that made him brilliant was he said nothing while saying something, right? I mean, he never gave the media anything to chew on. And that's what AG continues to do, because you're right. He's definitely insecure. And obviously they're 0-6 and winning cures all. So to me, where he needs to win is on the field. And for me as a fan, like, there's nothing more frustrating than listening to somebody tell you that what you're seeing isn't what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And to me, the personnel is the problem. Like, we watched this last game,
but how are you gonna fix that?
They're running the 12th.
You can't fix that in 1 year. It's 6 games. Like, you're right. You can't fix that in 6 weeks.
I totally agree with you. But what I saw on Sunday, to see them go out in the 12 personnel, to me indicates that they don't know who their personnel are. They're putting two tight ends in blocking schemes that can't block. Breece Hall doesn't get a pass all game. Like, they're not using the personnel the way they need to.
But those are different discussions.
And that, to me, is
Eric,
where coaching comes in.
Yep, and you're not wrong. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Good stuff, getting a little juice out of the shoot here, first call. You're not wrong, but we're not even getting into the, you know, like the weeds of the Jets schematics, because nobody cares. Like, right now, everybody knows the Jets have one terrific wide receiver and a bunch of nobodies. They've got one appealing tight end. And that's, you know, and I like Mason Taylor. They had three pretty good running backs on paper. One's basically out for the season. The other one's not as good as we thought. And Davis and Breece Hall wants out. I mean, you know, so we know that there's a dearth of talent. That's not the concern. That's a concern for next year. But that's not the complaint or the reservations now. What's worrying me, man, and I've still got his back. I want people to know that I've got Aaron's back, and I've still got belief in him. But there's too many warning flares week after week that he's a little overwhelmed by the job.
I don't think he's insecure. I think his position can be deemed insecure. I think there's going to be a little bit of doubt creeping in. I don't believe Aaron Glenn ever thought that he would have started 0-6. And the more that piles up and the louder the noise becomes, the more difficult it is to get out of that. And he really doesn't know. He's learning, so he can believe in himself 100%, which I believe that he does. But until you do the job that you've always wanted successfully, like, how do you really know?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted this opportunity. He got the opportunity. He's gotten smashed in the face here at 0-6. And certainly some things that you could see that he's learning on the go as a head coach that maybe even he didn't realize, whatever it may be, handling the timeouts, handling the end of the half, handling the media. Like, there's a lot of different things that go into it, which is why we said in this particular market, look, if he were doing this in Detroit or wherever else, it wouldn't be this loud. It might be a little noisy with the horrific start. It wouldn't be this loud, especially in year one. So there's a lot at play. The media, the fans, the history of the organization, a rookie head coach, his personality, and the way that he's handling this. Like, I don't think questioning the media or being short or terse or at sometimes combative, I don't think that that's the wrong way. If you're having success, nobody in this town will give a crap. We could either laugh it off. We could be like, this guy's a whatever. It wouldn't matter because he'd be winning. It's the combination, the worst case combination of losing plus seeing him handle it this particular way and him trying to still find himself as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Just imagine if Tom Thibodeau, I know obviously no longer here, but say if Tom said after a playoff game, right, or a bigger profile Cavs, something like that, Celtics last year, regular season game, and he was asked by whomever, all right, hey, you know, coach, why does it seem as if you guys are abandoning your three-point, willingness to shoot so many threes? And his answer was basically, well, I mean, we'd like to shoot some more threes, but you guys would be all over us if we miss them. That's the equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, he might.
It's not different than that.
Tibbs was never, best buddies with the media. There might have been some times where people said about the minutes and he was either in a disrespectful fashion, whatever it may be. It's different because it's Tibbs.
And he also,
it's Lord Tibbs.
He won in Chicago, win a championship, but he had some pedigree and he was an assistant here, no doubt.
Bingo. So look at the way Tibbs handled the media. It's a great example. But look at the way Tibbs handled the media. Also, look at his track record. Now, he did have success when he first got here, but still, there's a different, Tibbs was not lovey-dovey with the media. He wasn't like, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a great point. Maybe I should play this guy. No, he was short and terse with it as well. The difference is the resume and the reputation to back it up, where Glenn does not have that.
Confidence comes from doing.
Yeah.
Okay, think about the first time you were on SNY. First time ever. Well, 15 years ago.
100%. You have to, right? You have
think
to
think about
have,
it.
You have to have success to have confidence, or experience then some success to have true confidence.
100%. Even the cameo that you shot the other day for Gravesend, right? You go back, or you go back for season four, you go back to finish another scene, you're going to feel better because you've done it.
100%.
Think about anybody who's trying to break 100. You feel good on the range, man, and you go to that 18th hole, and you got a 95, and you got to get a par. Or if it's a par three, you got to get a bogey to break 100. Well, suddenly things, you feel different because you haven't done it yet. I understand that. All I'm saying is, don't make it tougher, coach.
Yeah, I get it, but that's part of the reason why I wanted a head coach with experience here, because of this exact freaking reason. With that being said, I still believe Glenn has the right attributes to get the job done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll hear from Booty, we'll hear from Cashman, see what they have to say about what went wrong this season, or if they even acknowledge that anything went wrong. Who knows? I get the feel we're going to hear a lot of, we're a really good baseball team, 94 wins, maybe a little bad postseason luck. We'll figure it out here, what we hear from Boone and Cashman, but I'm looking forward to it, BT. Start of the show, obviously talking some football here with Aaron Glenn. We'll get to the Giants maybe next hour and work in the possibilities of who they could trade for, as it seems like that. We talked about that yesterday, adjusting some stuff with some salaries here to make some more room.
Well, what, $4 million, right?
Something like that, to make a little more room for the cap this year, which would indicate you'd think they're going to be going after a wide receiver.
Obviously. Yeah, and some of the names that you saw, again, we'll do it more thoroughly in a bit, but Olave, which is a name I brought up the other day. I didn't bring up Jalen Waddle. I think you did, actually.
Yes, yesterday, Waddle. Yeah.
And there was one more that I threw out there.
He was on his list.
Yeah.
Okay, you saw like an actual list of people?
I think Cotter had it. I think there were three names. Okay. Olave was one, Waddle was one, targets. Yeah, they're going after some, I mean, at least, you know, the report is some real wide receiver.
BT and Sal on the Fan right now. We're talking about, is Aaron Glenn a real head coach or not? Peter is in Wanacue. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
All right,
I've got a few points to make. And first, I take Glenn's response to the media as he's basically saying, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Meaning that if I let him loose, gets intercepted, I get blamed. So my point is that he's not scared to lose. I think he's scared to win. And I'm going to put it in perspective. When Brian Daboll came on in the Giants, I remember a game I was watching. They were down 7 points. They scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he goes for two.
That was Tennessee. Said, oh, first game.
Got nuts.
First game, Pete, in Tennessee. Game one.
And he got the team behind him. They went on an adrenaline rush. They had a great first season. That's why he's got a long leash. Now, in comparison, Glenn does not have a long leash. I've been a long time Jet, so I guess I'm numb to it. But I don't care if they're 1-5, 0-6, 2-4. I want to see that they're making the right steps. That he's making winning moves, winning decisions that say, hey, I got confidence in this guy that he's learning. I don't want to say, oh, he'll learn on the job. Hey, some people just can't. They don't have it. So I want to see him be able to show me that he's making adjustments, and that's what good coaches make.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no other sport.
Yeah,
there's no other sport that the coach has more of his fingerprint on the game than football.
Mm-hmm.
Big X's and O's and strategies. And then on the other half, I want to defend Glenn. Last week, they didn't lose the game because of him. Fields was just terrible. He was behind on those receivers. He makes a couple of those plays, and they're in field goal position. So Fields, I couldn't trust him to hit any other receivers running across the field. He was way behind him. He wouldn't throw. He wouldn't let it loose. He was holding. He was looking to run. So I blame Fields for not making the call.
Right, but then other people, Peter, would blame Glenn for not going to Tyrod Taylor. I am not one of them. But other people are saying that. So you can't just absolve Glenn with the loss. I know it was primarily on Justin Fields, but Aaron Glenn also made some horrific decisions in that game that the Jets could have won. Even with as bad as Fields played, they could have still won that game if he made some different decisions going in at halftime or even at the end of the game trying to kick a field goal instead of ridiculously going for 4th-and-8.
You're right, but Taylor's not the future. We got to say, is this guy going to stick with us? So he's out. So
I agree with you for the record on that.
Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, I got to stick with Glenn for the year and see what he's got, because at this point, we can't switch. Now, the last thing on a humorous point, if I told you that 6 games into the season, the Jets would be 1 game off of the Ravens, I think you'd be happy with that.
That's funny.
So
yeah,
imagine that crowd and their coach and their team out there. They got to be feeling.
Yeah, hey, Mike,
I'll leave you
with
that, and I'll listen to your comments.
It's a good call, Pete. Thank you very much. Hit a couple different things there. So John Harbaugh has had a few other points, and he's been with the Ravens for a long time, as we know, where he's been on thin ice. And I think we're getting there again. So, and it's not really his fault because Lamar's hurt, and obviously no Lamar, no wins. But there's a chance John Harbaugh is going to get fired in Baltimore.
And if he's available, I can't sit here and say, well, you got to stick with Aaron Glenn just because you thought he was the right guy and you got to see it through. That may be true. However, if Harbaugh is available and would be open to taking this job, and I doubt that Woody would want him, and I doubt that Harbaugh, if he did get fired, would want this job. He's going to have other jobs.
That's no question.
But that's a situation that, to me, I don't care who the current head coach is. If there's still doubt about it and Harbaugh's available, I'm bringing him in. I would say the same thing for Mike Tomlin. If somehow Tomlin were available, if there's a known commodity that's, to me, in my mind, a guarantee, and I'm the Jets or really any team that's still in search of or has a question of my head coach, I'm making a decision to fire and hire one of those guys.
After make it one and done, huh? Seen it before, yeah, I get it.
I wouldn't suggest that, and I'm not saying that they need to do that. I'm saying that in the event that somebody like that, Tomlin, Harbaugh, problem is the Jets had a chance to get Jim Harbaugh and they didn't want him.
Yeah, so let's get the second of the Harbaughs. I like John Harbaugh. I think he's a little bit overrated. I've thought that for a while. Now, if they would have hired him, you know, say if the Ravens got rid of him a year ago and he's coaching the Jets now, I would certainly have been very enthused with the hire. But if Aaron shows any sort of progress, the team, obviously how he handles all these things that are flying at him now, and there's at least some signs that Aaron's getting it, which is what Pete brought up, the caller. He said, listen, you know, we have to give him at least time to show that he can improve upon his mistakes. That's number one. I like John Harbaugh. Don't love him. I love Jim Harbaugh. Jim's not available.
BT, but he was, and they didn't get him. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back and a little Brian Cashman press conference bingo. We've got the bingo cards here in front of us. BT and Sal play some bingo when we'll listen to Booney and Brian and Cashman together. We can get into that when we come back. You like that card there?
This thing is absolutely. You know what? First of all, it's you and I up top, yeah, which is funny. It's all, yeah, the different terms, which we'll get into when we get back. I just noticed that Cashman's wearing a tux. He's hosting the game.
Yeah.
This is funny. Oh, people are going to love this.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan on this Tuesday in the middle of October. And while it's the middle of October and the Yankee season just finished and the Mets season's been finished for 2 weeks, the Jets season's been dead for a long time. They are like the carcass on the middle of the road. But over the last few days, we had the circus come to town, because not only do the Jets find the creative a new way to stick it to their fans on a Sunday morning, we saw Aaron Glenn pull off some unspeakable decisions in the midst of that loss. And then, after the game, he felt bad for our next guest. He felt bad for Brian Costello, because I think Aaron Glenn knew, boy, Brian hasn't been beaten up by Joe Beningo in a long time. So he's like, you know what? If Joe hasn't beat him up in a long time, I'll beat him up by lecturing him and saying, what kind of question is that? Even though the question was completely legitimate. So Brian Costello, great writer of the New York Post, longtime coverer of the New York Jets, who tries to abuse you more, in your opinion? Joe Beningo back in the day or Aaron Glenn?
Oh, absolutely Beningo, Evan. Beningo's for sure. I actually am glad I'm not speaking to Beningo these days.
Bro, this team sucks!
Yeah, he'd be yelling at me, and I'd have to be trying to find, like, you know, I always ended up feeling like I was defending the Jets talking to him when there is no defense right now.
There is no defense right now. And let's start there. What has shocked you the most about the Jets' ineptitude in 2025?
Just the way they're losing, you know. I didn't think they were going to be good this year, but I thought of a 500 team. I picked them to go 8-9, I think. So, and I thought there'd be some early struggles, and the offense might have some things to work out with a new play call or a new quarterback, that kind of stuff. But I didn't think they'd look this bad. And, you know, it's been the defense looking bad, and then the offense, they're taking turns. The offense looks terrible this week. The turnovers and penalties in other games, just finding ways to lose games. It's just looked way worse than I expected it to.
Yeah. And how, what is the feel in the locker room like? It's hard, I know, when you're winless at, yeah, this point in the season to be optimistic. I know some guys were trying to, but that felt like it faded last week.
Yeah, it's not good, Tiki. Yeah, I think, well, last week was weird because they were in London. It was a little bit of a different feel, but the, right, game after the game Sunday was, it felt bad. Like it was a bad locker room. There was guys that were pissed off. I think there was guys questioning what the hell happened at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
There was questioning what happened at the end of the game. I think there was, it didn't feel good. The vibe was not good after the game Sunday. And the other part of this is it's just some of these guys have been through this so many times now that there's this feeling around the Jets of here we go again. And it's just they know nothing but losing. So in my head, almost like when they go into this offseason and they're looking at free agency, like obviously you're looking at the regular things of getting faster players, stronger players, better players, but they also need some dudes that have won in the NFL to just kind of come in the locker room and be like, hey, this is the way. And like LaDainian Tomlinson was that guy way back when, and they've had some other guys that did that. But to me, that's Aaron Glenn needs that in the locker room. He needs some guys that are going to reinforce his message and guys that have a resume that they can do it with. You know, the problem for the Jets right now is I just don't think they have anyone in the locker room that can do that. The good players haven't won.
Yeah. And in relation to the locker room, I know it's very difficult for all of us to try to interpret what an Instagram post means or what a tweet means, but when Breece Hall says, they want me to lay down, but I got something to stand for, #free20, it's tough, yeah, to not take that as someone that wants out and is pissed off. Do you get the vibe that Breece Hall is annoyed with the coaching staff or whomever at this point?
You know, these social media posts are very tough to interpret, Evan. Sometimes they mean nothing. Sometimes they mean everything. And like we talked to Breece, I don't know, on Friday in England, and he was asked about the trade rumors and said he wants to be here. Breece sometimes has some fun. I think he likes to troll a little bit. So I'm not sure what that was. I still think he wants to be here. But I don't know. I don't know what that message was. And yeah. That's just something, some breaking news for you. Not really about this team, but Nick Mangold announced that he needs a kidney. He's reaching out to see if there's any kidney donors out there for him. So
that's right.
I'm sure you can find more information about that. He just released it.
Wow. Yeah, that's sad to hear. Hope prayers and thoughts to him. Because Nick's a good dude.
Absolutely.
He's a good dude.
Great dude indeed. We're talking to Brian Costello about the Jets and everything going on with this franchise. Why do you believe Aaron Glenn is so loyal to Justin Fields?
Look, I don't think the alternative to Tyrod Taylor is that good to begin with, right? I get it. Like, I understand the argument to put him in last Sunday, and he probably would have played a lot. I know he would have played better than Justin Fields was playing in that game, but it's not like there's a future here. Like, it's not like going from Russell Wilson to Jackson Dart, right? That's something you're like, okay, this guy's the future. Let's see it.
Right.
They don't have that. So I think the alternative isn't great. I do think he believes in the guy, like, a lot. Like, it's crazy to me that he walked in the door and was guaranteed the starting job. Like,
yeah.
I almost fell over in March when he said that, because everything about Aaron Glenn has been like, you got to earn it. And,
right.
And like, even last week I asked him, like, are you going to make changes on defense? You know, like, after that game, are you going to make some personnel changes? And he said, everyone has to earn their keep. But it seems like everyone, but that's Justin Fields. So it's a weird thing. He's really fiercely loyal. I think, you know, he said yesterday, like, he doesn't want him looking over his shoulder. But I don't know. Like,
it's
that's part of the NFL, man.
Right.
Like, it's a very strange thing to me that he's this kind of defiant when it comes to one player.
And, Brian, isn't it becoming, at least, and again, we're from afar. I have not been in the Jets locker room. I'm not around them like I am the Giants. So I don't really have a feel on this. But I do know that once you start to get these, well, this guy is better. Man, Tyrod gives us a better chance to win. Yeah. Once you get that just a little sliver of a division, it really starts to divide the locker room. And then, you talk about how hard it is to win in the NFL. It becomes impossible to win at that point. Because every decision gets second-guessed. And I know you mentioned this earlier about what kind of leaders in that locker room can step up and in this case, squash that. Who does that?
Yeah, no one. Yeah, they don't have that in the locker room. You know,
right.
And C.J. Mosley was that guy for the last few years. He's gone, so they do not have that. And, yeah, I think this week's a big week for Justin Fields in terms of that. Like, I think if he goes out and he can play decently against the Panthers, and they desperately need a win. They get a win, he calms the waters. If he goes out and has another performance like he did Sunday against the Broncos, forget it. I mean, like, Glenn has to go to Tyrod at some point in that game, or then we're talking about losing the locker room.
If he pulled Justin Fields the middle of next week against Carolina, or Sunday against Carolina, because it's that bad, would you walk into the media room and kind of drop the mic on his ass and be like, oh, yeah, I thought it was a dumbass question. Now, what do you say?
No, I would not, Evan. I would not. I think part of the thing is he has to learn with the media. Like, just because I ask a question doesn't mean I'm saying you did the wrong thing. Like,
right.
Even if I'm asking, why'd you punt on that fourth down? Like, I think he takes it as we're, like, saying you were wrong. I'm curious in the decision-making stuff, and I'm trying to ask questions I think I'm curious about, and you're curious about, and everybody watching the games are curious about. So, you know, his reaction, he'll learn over time. He'll get better at it. It's a tough situation. I mean, Tiki, you lived
it.
Yeah,
of course.
You walk off the field. Like, I feel for these guys sometimes. They're still in the heat of battle. You can see it in their eyes sometimes when they come in there. And then we have to hit them with these questions.
Right.
At 0-6, it's like, it's not fun sometimes to answer these questions. Like, I get them. I cut them some slack in the postgame.
Right. I remember these days. Like, it's hard to take your criticism as something that could potentially make you better, right? And I always say this to Sean and these guys, your critics are your friends, right? They show you your faults type of thing. It's an old famous Benjamin Franklin quote, but it's hard when you're losing, right? It's easy when things are going well and it's just like a small critique, but when it's like the overarching story about your team, it feels like it's all your fault, even though that's not even what's being told to you or criticized with you about. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, it's tough. And I think, you know, I also go to this with Aaron Glenn. Like, think about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what made him. He was a cornerback in the NFL for 15 years. Like, you don't play that position unless you are super confident.
Right.
Right. Like, I tell people all the time, like, you have no idea the confidence level it takes to be a professional athlete. Like, mm-hmm. just to get there. And not even the elite guys, everybody. They're all, you have to have this amazing self-belief to go all the way to that level. And then to be a Pro Bowl player like he was and play that long. And I tell you, that position too, like, you got to forget about it when 100%. You make a mistake and bounce back. That's who he is. So him, like, I think, you know, this, he's like the arrogance or whatever you want to call it. That's him, man. And like, that's why he's gotten to where he is. So I don't think he's going to back off of that. But I understand that. Just doesn't look good right now at 0-6. So yeah. I think sometimes in the press conferences, maybe he needs to dial it back a little bit, but he also has to be himself. You don't want to be Eric Mangini and trying to be somebody you're not at that podium.
I don't feel like, Brian, that he's a potential one and done guy. People want to keep saying it and speculating about that, but I don't get that sense. Do you?
No, I don't. I think, like, look, the disasters are on the table right now. 0-17 is still on the table. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to win games. But, like, that's the only way I see it happening is, like, at 0-17, 1-16. But he's being paid a lot of money.
Right.
This coaching cycle, the salaries jumped quite a bit. Mm. And so I don't know if Woody Johnson's going to want to eat 4 years of that money and also the whole coaching staff. So, like, start there. Like, there's a financial component of this. But I also think they know, like, this changing the whole culture and all that stuff wasn't going to happen overnight. I do think Woody is like a lot of fans, though. I think he's probably annoyed at the product he's seen each week on the field. Like, it's got to get better. There's got to be progress here at some point that's visible and tangible and the results in wins. But I do not think he'll be one and done.
Well, that's the key. Like, I don't think anybody wants him to be one and done. Mm-hmm. I don't want the Jets to fire their head coach, especially a guy who is a tremendous player for the franchise who wants to be here. Like, the idea of firing him after 1 year makes me sick to my stomach. But, like, to your point, there needs to be progress. Like, this can't be an incompetent mess for 17 weeks, and you can't be allowed the joystick of picking your franchise quarterback in all likelihood with the number one overall pick for a group that didn't prove anything. And so that's where I kind of battle with myself internally. Of course I don't want him to be one and done, but there needs to be a level of competence shown over the next 14 weeks.
Yeah, there needs to be progress shown for sure. And I think to your point, like, if about the number one pick, like, because people have started asking me, like, do you trust them to make the number one pick? I don't think that's the right question right now. Hmm. I think the right question is, like, if you're Woody Johnson, do you envision Aaron Glenn being the head coach of your team in 3 years, right? Because we saw this with the Tennessee now, fires Brian Callahan after drafting Cam Ward. You saw it in Chicago. You saw it in Carolina. You saw it in Jacksonville where these guys got fired after taking a quarterback. So to me, it's not necessarily they got the quarterback picks wrong, but, like, you have to have confidence that this is the guy. Aaron Glenn is going to be your guy, and he's going to be here for a few years. Where if you do have the number one pick, or even top five, and you're taking a quarterback, so I think that's where Woody Johnson has to get to by the end of the year, is confident that this guy is going to be here for a few years, and you have belief in him.
The vibe I've gotten from Woody over the years is that when he hires people, he lets them do their thing for a few years. And then once they stop winning, just never win, then he gets involved. Do you see him being involved right now with what's going on because it's so bad? Or is he still letting these guys kind of do what they want in year one?
I think he's letting these guys do what they want. I'm sure they're getting feedback, about what's going on. But in terms of, like, hey, bench this guy, or I want this guy, or trade for this guy, I don't think he's doing that right now.
Yeah.
I think he's letting them do their thing. And it's kind of weird, Evan, too. It's like, there was a period where he wasn't around. So, like, the Todd Bowles era, he was there for 2 years, and then he was gone. So that was Christopher Johnson. He wasn't here for all of Gase. Then they hire Saleh, and he comes back. So Saleh was, like, never his guy. So, like, he didn't really like Saleh. And so that was always weird. So this is, like, the first time it's been, like, his coach, and he's going to be here since Rex, really. And so it's kind of a different feel. And I also, like, you can't discount when these guys get older. Like, the sands of time are going. Like, I think his urgency is going up, right? Like, he's going to be an older guy, and I'm sure his patience is wearing thin. And, like, I do think at some point, if there's not results, that he's probably going to inject himself a little bit further into the operation.
Brian, you know this because you've seen it many times over the years for a lot of different teams, including our local. Sometimes you got to strip down your team right? When you get a new coach and got to get the right players in. I know Tom did this over a couple of years. Eventually, it obviously led to them winning a Super Bowl and getting the players that he wanted, his style of guy. I know we hit this briefly earlier about the trades and who could go and how could they make their team better. Do you see this being an active trade period for this Jets team? And if so, who's likely out?
Yeah, I struggle with that, Tiki, right? Because I just think about, I do think their wins are important this season for what we talked about, just enforcing his message and showing the way. And if you start trading Breece Hall or you start trading, Quinn Williams, I've seen people speculate on, like, these are the heart and soul of the team. And you're waving the right white flag to your locker room.
Right.
You're just saying this year doesn't matter. I think that's a tough, tough message to send. I don't think this is a team that needs to strip it all the way down. I think they've got some good pieces here. I think they need to build up around those pieces. So to me, I would not be overly active at this trade deadline. And I also don't think you're getting, I don't know how much value you're going to get. Yeah. Quinnen would bring a good return. I don't think Breece Hall going into a free agency is going to get you a good return. So I struggle with it. I do not know, like, the part I don't know is, where are they on Breece Hall? Are they thinking, like, we're going to let this guy walk after the season? Are they thinking we're going to franchise tag him? Are they thinking we're going to sign him? Like, that's a big factor, right? If they're going to just let him walk, then, yeah, like, then you take what you can get for him. But, man, that's a tough message to send to the locker room if you still believe you can win games this season.
Well, if it's a veteran player, not that anyone is falling all over themselves to trade for Alan Lazard, but if it's a guy like that, sure, why the hell not? But when you're talking about the guys that are going to help you win next year, because eventually they got to win.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just suck for the next 3 years, and it's no big deal.
Right, and Breece Hall is one of your best players right now.
Yeah, so if you start removing, you mentioned Quinnen Williams, even Jermaine Johnson. I mean, what a difference he made to that pass rush coming back.
Yeah.
You start stripping these guys away. Forget this year, as bad as that is. This year's already gone to hell. But what about next year? I just it's a tough thing to pull off if you're Muji and Glenn.
It is, and if you are thinking, hey, we're going to draft a quarterback in the first round next year, you need a team around that guy. Like, we've seen this too many times with the Jets alone, never mind across the NFL, where they, you know, was Sam Darnold the wrong pick, or was he just drafted to the wrong place?
That last part. Yeah. He was drafted to the wrong, with the wrong coach, except with no talent around him. Imagine if he had this talent around him.
Yeah, I always say that. It only matters what the situation is like that a rookie quarterback comes into.
Yeah, so, like, if you're stripping down, going, oh, we're going to draft picks, then we're going to take a quarterback, like, no, like, that's not going to work. You're going to repeat the mistakes of the past. So, to me, I'm holding on to that core, those core players. Breece Hall is a little tricky, like I said. He's a free agent. You got to figure out what you're going to do there. But, yeah, if someone wants to take Alan Lazard, I think the Jets would drive him to the airport. But
yes.
That's a little different story.
So many years ago, Joe asked you a question that elicited a response that became a gif. It was Joe screaming, "Ah!" And the question is something I want to ask you again. He asked you, will Adam Gase be the head coach 3 years from now? And you were very honest, and you were correct by saying no. And, of course, it caused the Joe freakout. So I want to ask you, on October 14th, 2025, when we're sitting here in 3 years in 2028, is Aaron Glenn still going to be the head coach of the New York Jets?
And I'm going to answer it the same way. No, because these people don't just go last year.
There you go.
They don't last. And, like, the evidence, I think Joe probably asked me around this time with Adam Gase, too, and it was like 1-6 or 1-7 or something like that. It's just, it's hard to see a reason why he's going to be here in 3 years.
Great. Wonderful time to be alive, Brian. Well, keep it up. Keep covering the team as best you can. It's the most thankless job in America.
Thank you, Brian.
But we appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Brian Costello of the New York Post. Now, let's get to Aaron Glenn. A couple of things from his press conference today. Number one, let's start with Breece Hall. Breece Hall has that Instagram post the other day. Well, he wasn't asked directly about Breece and his Instagram post. He was asked about, hey, you guys are 0-6. There are a lot of rumors about you guys trading Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. You said before the season, Coach, you don't want to trade Breece Hall. Has anything changed, Coach?
They're rumors. Still feel the same way.
They're rumors, and I feel the same way. And then he abruptly ended the press conference.
And that was it.
That was it. That was his only mention of it. So I get nothing out of this other than he's not going to talk about it. But he also left open the possibility that Garrett Wilson could play on Sunday. Even though there are reports that he's going to miss multiple weeks. So Aaron Glenn's new best friend, Brian Costello, decided to pepper him with questions about, wow, is Garrett Wilson really going to play on Sunday?
We'll see how he's progressing during the week.
So that means he's going to stop?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
The MRI didn't show anything.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Aaron Glenn hates Brian Costello.
Yeah, he does.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Right. Because he got heat for how he responded to him. That's why.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Now he doesn't want to respond to him.
Yeah, but, Coach, look, this isn't the make or break for you. What's making or breaking is the football team, clearly.
Yeah.
I don't think this stuff helps. Just answer the freaking question.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
To repeat the same thing five times in a row is like, I don't know.
It just shows you're annoyed. But, and the last thing you want is for somebody who is outside of the organization to annoy you.
But okay, can
I let it annoy you? Let it annoy you. I don't know. Be civil.
Just be. And here's the thing that really boggles my mind. And I'm not saying this because I like Brian Costello, because I've called Brian out before. He'll tell you we've had our fights. He's literally doing nothing wrong. Like, I know, Sean, there are giant reporters that you think are rabble rousers and they're real jerks.
Yeah, I mean, at their jobs, not as people.
Well, just say their names. Who are the guys you hate? Pat Leonard, you don't like him.
I like Pat Leonard the person. I don't like Pat Leonard the reporter.
Oh, stop being sensitive. Who are the reporters that you can't stand?
He doesn't like Jordan Renan. Personally,
Daryl Slater's another guy, stiff.
You can't stand these guys, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you think they're starting stuff. And if that's the case, fine.
Yeah.
Brian Costello literally asked the coach, did you consider benching a quarterback who sucked?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
And then today, he's just like, so you're saying Garrett Wilson may play?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
He didn't like try to get him on anything.
Yeah, but I get why you wouldn't want to give that away, because it's just a competitive advantage. If now they don't think you're playing against Garrett Wilson, then he plays. It's manipulation of injury news.
No, you can do that, and I think you should do that. Yeah, I'm not even disagreeing with it. It's more just when you start repeating the same thing, you're pissed off at the guy. Mm. You're showing it. And really, you got nothing to be pissed off at Costello.
Oh, I see
about.
What you're saying. You're just saying because he's not even engaging.
Oh, I know why Glenn's pissed off. Same reason Joe is still pissed off at Costello. I know why. Tell you a secret about Brian Costello.
What did he do?
He voted against Mike Piazza once in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
What?
Yeah. I bet you Glenn hates it.
Why? Does he even know that?
I bet you it came out recently and Glenn's like, you voted against Piazza?
When you said Joe and voted against, I thought you were going another avenue. Not Piazza.
I don't know any of that. All right, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Craig is in Harrison. What's up, Craig?
Hello?
What's hello?
Hello. Yeah, I'm calling from Deerfield Beach. And Evan, I just wanted to say that the Jets have been, I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest, but like, they've just been nothing but like a failure my whole life. And did you know that both of us like combined scored more like yards than like they did like at all last weekend?
Yes, unfortunately I do. I thought you were going to say we scored more in high school than they score on a football field. And the answer is that's almost impossible. No offense to Craig. I know my own game. No, it's sad, bro. And you can hear it in his voice. I mean, you can hear it in Craig's voice. The New York Jets are killing us week by week by week. And so here's my attitude about Sunday. I'm going to the game. And I'm going to the game with an attitude that I'm actually going to bring to the basketball season, which is, you know what? I'm just here to have fun. I'm just here to eat a cheeseburger. I'm just here to smell the smells. I'm just here to have my arm around my son and teach him about the game of football. It's a beautiful sport. Just like basketball is a beautiful sport.
You going to opening night in basketball?
What was that?
Are you going to the opening night?
Of course, same attitude.
Did the Nets get relegated to the WNBA?
Well, I haven't heard that, Boomer.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how I'm going to treat both. And that's what we as Jet fans have to do. We just have to go in expecting doom, and we're looking for other fun things. So if you're going to MetLife the way I am, it's about the food. It's about the tailgating. It's about, you know, bonding with your kid. Mm. That's what it's about. I thought I was going to lose Jet last night, though.
Why?
Dad, why do all our teams suck?
Oh man, that's worse than the birds and the bees convo.
That is so
And you know
bad.
What I said to him?
How did you respond to this?
I just explained why each team sucks. Next and I suck. Said, here's the deal, Jet. I'm never going to force you. Now, you know the way I am. I'm always going to be with our teams. And I think it'll be sweeter when we eventually win.
Mets suck.
But you do what you got to do. And he said, okay. And I said, oh, geez, where's this going? And he's like, no, I'm sticking with him. Mm. I'm just curious. Why do we suck? And then he asked, why do fans of another team, and he meant the Giants, why do they go out of their way to tell us we suck? And I said, because they're jerks. What do you mean? Like, why?
I don't. All Giant fans don't do that.
Are you nine anymore, Tiki?
No, that's true. That's a good point.
And I explained to him, I was like, look, are the Giants better? Yes, they are. They're 2-4. So he said to me, what should I say back to them the next time they say the Jets suck? And I said, you're not going to the playoffs either. Mm. And he's like, okay. So that's his new response to Giant fans.
I think being self-deprecating is easiest.
It is, but when you're nine.
Hey, the Jets suck, Jet. Yeah, we do.
Just go
with that.
And it'd be like, and?
Boutique, wouldn't you?
What next?
Boutique, wouldn't you agree?
It's like the Eminem rant. Like, tell these people something they don't know about me.
That's true. It's a fair philosophy. But wouldn't you agree that the Giants aren't going to the playoffs?
Right now? No. Yes.
So
I agree with that.
So isn't that retort a fair one?
Until both, 2 weeks from now, they beat the Broncos and Eagles.
It is, but it creates a fight.
Not really. Just we're both not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but then the Giant fans will say, yes, we are. Did you see how we beat the Eagles and the Chargers?
Yeah.
And we're going to crush the Denver Broncos, and y'all are still going to lose because you suck.
Yeah.
So it's just easier to say, yeah, we do.
Yeah. I told him to do that with the Nets because that one you can't fight. So I just said, with the Nets, just say, yeah, of course we suck.
Wait, with the Jets you can?
Well, what do you mean? No, because the other team is also on a different level of sucking. Like, the Knicks are a title contender. Oh, I don't lie to him about that.
I hear you.
New York Knicks could legitimately have a parade in June. So for me to say talk trash back to the Knicks would be
alternative.
Stupid.
The alternative in basketball is actually very viable.
Right. So I tell him just live with the fact that we're terrible. I said with the Jets and the Giants, you can still fight by saying, well, you're not going to the playoffs either. It's like what you could say to a Yankee fan. You got eliminated too. I'm not arguing we're not worse, but I'm just saying for a 9-year-old, I think that's an easier retort.
No. You tell him it's very easy. I saw you picking the nose in the bathroom. Start a whole rumor about the kid in school. Let it lead to problems. That's the best way to get him
back. So change the subject.
Yeah.
Go the cooties route, for sure.
Best route. Let's go to Anthony in Summit, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan. So first of all, just because I'm also a fellow Mets, Jets, Nets fan, it's like it's nice to hear all the things that you say. Didn't plan on saying. Nice to hear everything. So, I've been a Jets fan my whole life. I'm 25 years old. I'm watching the Giants game on Thursday night against the Eagles. They're kicking their butt. Jackson Dart comes out of the game, you know, with that injury. He's out for 3 plays, and he comes back in. And to see from the Giants fans at MetLife Stadium, the love, the admiration, the hope, the optimism that they have. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, my question is, in the 25 years that I've been alive, I'm not sure I've really seen anything like that from Jets fans at MetLife Stadium. And maybe I have, and I just don't remember it. Like, I remember watching the playoffs in 2009, 2010. I remember when they almost made the playoffs in 2016. I'm just, Evan, my question is, has Jets fans had anything like that in my lifetime?
And you mean a player, Anthony, right? I think you're talking about a player doing that to you.
Yeah, there is no player. I think in terms of raw excitement, the one that jumps out at me was closing down Giant Stadium by making the playoffs. I mean, that is the ultimate. By beating the Bengals on Sunday Night Football to secure a postseason spot, we closed down Giant Stadium in the most epic, exciting, walking through the concourse with this kind of this hope that I don't think we ever had. The other one, and this is, again, before our last caller's time because of his age, was the day the Jets won the AFC East in shocking fashion in 2002, which included the help of a Patriot-Dolphin game and then beating the Green Bay Packers to secure a home playoff game, to which then they infamously beat the Colts 41-0.
Yeah, but is he talking about a moment, a game, or is he talking about the feeling that Jackson Dart gives Giant fans?
Yeah, if it's a player, it's never happened. It doesn't exist. No. It's done. Like, well, there, it doesn't continue. Like, there. I mean, I know there was excitement about Mike White. And there was excitement
but real.
You know, Curtis was a tremendous player to watch, but in terms of like the franchise quarterback giving you that excitement level, no.
Yeah,
what?
But like you on prom night. It lasted for 10 seconds. Aaron Rodgers ran out with the American flag. That was the excitement. It just lasted one drive. That was your franchise quarterback running out.
Well, that's why I didn't use that.
But we're saying for a player, it just didn't last long. I mean, Jackson Dart could retire tomorrow and go be an actor.
Right,
we don't know if it's going to last.
Before game one.
Yeah.
the hype up to game one, that was it.
But you know what the difference is?
It's not sustainable.
Well, also,
it wasn't sustainable.
But also, and again, it's up to how you want to phrase it from our last caller.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.